on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got him on the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.
One of the end zone caught. Close intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
We welcome you in to Big Blue Kickoff Live here on a Monday afternoon. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino, and of course, you. Phone lines will be open for the next hour. 201-939-4513 is the phone number you want to get in. That's how you do it. And as always, we'll be monitoring Twitter throughout the show, so make sure you include that hashtag Giants Chat, and we will share your tweets as well. So first and foremost, how was your weekend?
Rainy.
This weekend?
Yesterday was terrible.
Yeah, but not till like late.
That's true. That's true. I guess it was okay,
God,
but
sitting next to a negative Nelly over here.
Well, look, the weather's been...
Saturday was beautiful.
That's true. That's true. So I guess it was okay, but it certainly didn't sound out too good. I mean, last night, that horrible weather we have here in New Jersey, the bad rains. Weatherford, of course, is here, by the way, at OTAs. He is working out inside. He had himself a hydroplane situation on the turnpike, got into a car wreck, but he's okay.
Oh, thank goodness, because he just... newborn baby, right? JJ, in addition to Team Weatherford, hashtag, of course.
Yes. The team's expanding.
So now, yes. So one boy now, this is his third girl, flew back from California, and I guess on his ride back home, he got into a car accident. So thank God he's okay.
Well, we're both in one piece, which means we, guess, had a good weekend.
Yeah, well, thank God he's still in one piece.
He's in one piece, too. And that's good news, too.
I think Giants fans care more about Steve Weatherford and his health than you and I.
Yeah, they probably do.
So congratulations to Steve Weatherford. And again, God bless that he's okay.
Yeah.
Trying to think what else happened this weekend.
Well, let's see. The Rangers are done.
I know. How sad is that?
Very sad. You know, we were here the other day. Anita and I were part of the J Fund Sunday Blitz for all the families who were involved with Coach Coughlin's charity. They bring them up here to the facility and give them a tour, and we have the red team and the blue team, and we talk to all the folks and answer their questions, and a lot of the players are here, and they go through drills, and they have an opportunity to experience an outstanding day, and you can imagine the smiles on these kids' faces and how exciting it is, and I thought it was really funny that one of the kids was going around asking for autographs of some of the players and everything else. And he was even asking, like, some of the equipment guys, too. And, you talk about an impression that was left over the weekend or something that, you know, we did. That was on Friday. It was kind of the beginning of the weekend. But it really kind of grounds you. Anita, I know you feel the same way. You know, when we're in the room and we're talking to these folks and then we're giving them the tour, and to see the eyes just light up and to see the smiles light up, and I guess I just don't want to let that go too soon, because what Coach Coughlin does with his foundation and what he brings to the table, and the enthusiasm and the hope and the positive energy, which is something you always like to talk about, that he gives to these families, not just the children who are afflicted, but the brothers and the sisters, the moms and the dads, the aunts and the uncles, the grandparents, who are all touched by horrible cancerous types of diseases. I can't say enough about how good it makes you feel to make those people feel good for a day.
And what I really enjoyed was seeing a lot of the rookies interact.
Yeah.
I mean, every rookie was really a part of the event, and in the way that they kind of interacted with the kids was kind of neat. You know, because we're still getting to learn a lot of these guys. You know what I mean?
You know, it was really cool. Did Eric Flowers
Landon Collins had to do this box jump.
Yeah. That was neat.
And he literally, like, box jumped, like, two people.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Two kids, of course.
I thought Eric Flowers played it very, very well. Now, remember, at the Combine, he did 37 reps. He was by far the strongest guy at the Combine.
I think he did 25, right?
So, 25?
Didn't he? I think we counted 25.
Ooh. I can't remember how many he did for the kids in my group. But it was funny because they first asked him to do, I think, like 15, and he was making like he was struggling. And I'm saying to myself, hi, Eric, you could do this in your sleep. But the whole thing was Jerry Palmieri, the strength and conditioning coach, wanted to get the kids to participate. So he asked them to urge him on to see if he could do more. So, like, Flowers is like, oh, and then the kids are like, come on, come on. They start counting, and all of a sudden he starts pumping a whole bunch more.
And they got all excited.
And they got all excited. And it was just so cool.
So, again, we welcome you in Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hopefully you had a great weekend. We're here with you on a Monday as we're hosting the show. Giants players are, because it's rainy and so miserable here in the New Jersey area, players are inside, right?
Yeah, they're inside.
And so you had an opportunity. Practice started at 11?
11:20.
Okay. So you were in there for a hot second.
Yeah.
What did you see?
Saw Berhe and Donnell on the bikes. We also did not see John Beeson. Asked, PR representatives if there was any word. They said, you know, Coach Coughlin will address all these things afterwards. But, John has been a regular around the facility throughout the off season, so I don't anticipate that there's any bad news there. It's not like, there's any issues. He's a captain and a team leader, and I'm sure that there's a good reason why he's not here. Remember, these are voluntary. Okay, so let's make something very clear, folks. Nobody is AWOL, so to speak. It's a situation where if you can make it, you come, you help out with whatever thing you could do with the team and the rookies and the coaches, and you try to do what you can, but it is voluntary. So,
201-939-4513 is the phone number to get in. Hashtag Giants Chat for all your tweets. And one thing that we do want to do today, kind of a, what we want to focus on is Dallas Cowboys, Philadelphia Eagles, Washington Redskins, Giants. Which rookie class can we most, anticipate to have the most impact?
This year.
Immediate impact this year. So curious to get your thoughts. I'm not sure if a lot of people out there, though, Paul, really know exactly the players that Dallas and Philadelphia and Washington drafted, but that's what we're here for and kind of to break it down. So I'll kick it off with you. Who do you out of the four? Do you want me to tell you who I think?
Sure.
Okay, I think it's Dallas. Dallas had, the need or the want to overlook some character issues. And because of that, walked away with Byron Jones, number one cornerback out of Connecticut. That's what was their number one pick, 27th overall. Randy Gregory in the second round. And then, I'm sorry. It was.
Yeah, they took Gregory in round two.
In round two.
Yeah.
Okay, outside linebacker out of Nebraska. And then they ended up with the offensive lineman, Collins. Which really is an interesting situation in how that developed, was in Chicago, right? His girlfriend, ex-girlfriend, I believe, was shot. He had to leave Chicago for questioning, was never charged, but because of that, a lot of NFL teams were apprehensive in drafting him in the first or second round, and his agent came out and said, don't even bother drafting him on the third day because he's not even going to sign with anybody. So nobody drafted him. And then he made a visit to the Dallas Cowboys, and they ended up signing him as a free agent.
They got a boatload of talent in their crop.
So I guess what I'm saying is, at the end of the day, the Dallas Cowboys ended up with three potential first-round draft picks in the first, second, and then as a free agent. So... But again, that's an organization. They signed Greg Hardy. It's an organization that are kind of willing to put the off-the-field issues kind of to the side and invest in a player and hope that he walks the straight and narrow, something that other organizations might not be open to do. And because of that, in looking at just pure talent and who could step in immediately and contribute, it looks like Dallas has three players who can. So, but... Correct me if I'm wrong. Is there another team out there that you feel that their draft picks are going to come in and have an immediate impact this season?
Yeah, I think it's actually in a way a twofold question, because I'm with you on the Cowboys. If they hit on those three guys and the off the field stuff is not an issue at all, they could have three real gems over the course of the next several years, and it could turn out to be the best draft class in the division. I totally understand where you're coming from. In terms of this year, though, just this year, well, the Giants are going to start Flowers, and they're going to start Collins. Odicky Zoo has got a chance to crack into that rotation. I do think you could make a strong case that five out of the seven Giants picks could actually give them some production right away. So what I would say to you, Anita, is that if you narrow the focus down to who's going to
but
give
only,
them
only
more
only two
now,
are potentially looking to start.
Right. I think Flowers and Collins are going to start.
Right.
And I think the other guys are going to be, I mean, I think Davis is going to be a special teams demon, but that's special teams. He's not on the field for a ton of plays. He's only on for a limited number. So I could understand why you would say. But here's the thing. Even Collins, the lineman with the Cowboys, from what I understand, he's not going to start right away. You know, he's going to be a reserve. He's going to sit back and watch for a year. So,
but the reason he's not starting isn't because of his talent or his ability. I'm sure there were a lot of teams that wanted to bring Collins in that potentially could have started the right tackle position. I would guarantee you that there's at least 10 to 12 teams in the NFL that would love to have Collins on their roster to start.
Wouldn't
but it's just
that
the Dallas Cowboys offensive line is already the best in the NFL.
Right.
So he's the sixth man off the bench.
No room.
So it
has
to do with talent that's already there, not necessarily his talent.
Yeah. Oh, right. Without a doubt. I mean, there's just no room for immediate snaps from him. And so I would say that by the end of the 2015 season, you may see the most production out of the Giants draft class than either the Cowboys, Eagles, or Redskins. Where does that question sit after 3 years? I think Dallas is probably looking pretty good after 3 years. But after the first year, I don't know. I'm thinking Giants might get the most production out of the rookies right away. I do think that Sheriff and Smith, the first two picks of the Redskins, were really good. I'm not so sure after that. I'm not real high on the rest of their draft, although they had a ton of picks. They had a lot of bodies that they brought in. I'm not really feeling the guys that they drafted. The Eagles, the thing that bothers me about the Eagles is that, I mean, they went heavy with three corners, okay? Three corners in the first five guys that they took. They went heavy with three corners. We know they needed help in the secondary. We absolutely know that. But for me, I'm just not sure about their front seven on defense.
This is the one thing about the Philadelphia Eagles, and you know I was really big on Eric Rowe.
Yeah.
Okay, cornerback coming out of Utah, really big. And even though, yes, he is listed as a cornerback, a lot of NFL scouts have him transitioning to the safety position
right. In
the NFL.
Right.
This is a guy that I wanted to see the Giants go and get in the second round. Of course, we know they ended up with Landon Collins. Landon Collins, a lot of people anticipated him to go in the first round, so you can look at that as a steal for the Giants.
Sure.
But just like quarterbacks who come out, like, you know, we will forever compare
Rivers and Eli.
Yeah, we will forever compare Flacco and Matt Ryan.
Right.
You know what I mean? These are two DBs, Landon Collins and Eric Rowe, that I am going to compare and I'm going to keep a close eye on in their careers.
Sure.
Because I actually feel that Eric Rowe is a guy that the Giants could have gotten the second round and would not have had to trade up for him. And then, again, just my opinion, just my own opinion, I think Eric Rowe was a huge steal for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Well, you know, Rowe did go at 47. So, yeah, he, in theory, would have been there when the Giants were able to pick in round two had they not made the trade. So you make a good point there. I do know that there were three other teams competing with the Giants to make that deal with Tennessee at the top of round two. I can't tell you who they were exactly, but I do know there were three of them. Pittsburgh was one of the three, and I know that they wanted to go get a safety in that spot. Now, were those teams all interested in Collins? Were they interested in Rowe? I don't have the answer to that. But there was a lot of interest in both of these guys. So by you connecting them in your mind as we go forward, it's not a reach. I mean, clearly these guys will have parallel careers in terms of interest and in terms of their progress going forward.
And I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, the only other thing I was going to add to you is that in taking three corners in the first five selections.
But again, I think Rowe's going to play safety, Paul. I don't think Rowe's going to play corner.
Okay, fair enough. But no matter how much you upgrade your secondary, if you don't get pressure out of your front seven, are those guys really going to be able to produce at the level that they need to or they want to if you don't get enough out of your front seven on D? And that's why I'm a little suspect on their production, at least immediately, because I don't like the Eagles front seven.
I get it. Two players as well that I'm going to kind of compare in their careers, and that is Brandon Scherff, as well as
then Flowers,
Eric Flowers.
Yeah,
because
happen.
Brandon was a player that that the Giants really wanted as well. Of course, we know Washington took him with the number five pick, so was off the board. Giants didn't even have a chance to pick him. So, but going in, I mean, what did we hear going into the draft? Scherff was the all-around best offensive lineman. Flowers, the best tackle. Right? That's what we heard going into the draft.
And the other guys who you kept hearing in that conversation were Pete. He was another guy you heard a lot about, although some people like myself didn't think he was as valued quite as high. And Collins was the other guy. Those four tackles, I think, are going to have, you know, kind of spiderweb connections as their careers progress. So, and then, you know, I'll tell you something, Anita. The funny thing about this is that each team, when they look at these guys and they're picking the guy that they want, and for whatever reason they like one guy over another guy, that's fine. But the thing that we forget sometimes when we move down the pike a few years later and we start comparing these guys is what was the situation with that team and how did they develop him and what did they do? What were their needs? For example, Flowers was supposed to come in here originally and be the right tackle.
Right.
Now it's been told you're going to be left tackle. So already they've had to alter their plan for him. Now, will that ultimately be good for him or not? I think it's probably long-term going to be good. Because the sooner he learns left tackle, probably the better. But initially, maybe he doesn't have as good a year as you might have hoped because he wound up having to go to the left side prematurely. These are things that people have to understand when they start grading him, you know, games into the season or even a year after he comes into the NFL. You follow?
Right.
So.
All right, 201-939-4513. Again, just Paul and I looking at some of the draft picks in and around the NFC East and who we think what team is going to get just an immediate impact in regard to the rookies that they brought in. Curious to get your thoughts. 201-939-4513. Let's kick it off with Andrew in New Jersey. Andrew, you're first up.
It was a pleasure meeting both of you at the J Fund. And, Paul,
good to see you, Andrew.
You're bigger, too, than I thought. In person, you look bigger. I guess I'm used to seeing you amongst the linemen.
You mean taller. So, you mean taller.
Yeah, taller.
This is a dude who walks like 5-7 miles a day and all he eats is salad from the outside in with chicken in the... So don't use the word bigger, just taller.
You're a good influence around the facility. David Tyree was nice. I took a selfie with him, and cool. He was bigger than I thought, too. But you're right. It was just—it's so much fun being around the kids and the families, and it's such a positive, upbeat. And Coughlin is great to use his skills as a motivator.
Yeah.
The speech that he gave in the beginning—it was, you know, emotional. Almost brought me to tears. Then I had a chance to interview Coughlin, and the interview—it was, you know, like heartwarming. It was, you know, I'm just so proud of Coughlin and the Giants organization for having the event. And I'll officially retire my trivia question about Jim Thorpe, the running back, because I snuck that in and I asked Coughlin if he knew who the Giants running back that was in the Olympics and the Jim Thorpe question. But he didn't know either, so I'll retire that. But okay. I love the facility. Speaking of history and Jim Thorpe, all the pictures, it was my first time in the facility. And Eli spoke to the kids and took pictures. It's just a great day. And the funny moment, too, the big defensive lineman, Kuhn, he went on that blow-up slide thing. And
DeMontre Moore
going,
did, too. That was pretty funny.
Yeah, he was.
I thought he was going to break it.
Kuhn, he's like, do I exceed the weight limit?
But exactly.
It held him. But DeMontre Moore, that's another thing that I got to see a lot of the players behind the scenes. And DeMontre Moore is like smallish, like a little smaller than I thought it. And he kind of reminds me of Jesse Armstead, like a playmaker, slightly smaller, you know, for his position. And he can make plays on special teams. And Kuhn is monstrous, like ripped, but still looks athletic, though. But was that Eric Flowers? Was Flowers there?
Oh, yeah. Flowers did the bench press.
And he was the –
You must have missed that, Andrew, but it was good stuff. We're glad you enjoyed it. And, you know, again, that's something that Coach Coughlin does here every year. So we're just proud to be part of it.
And I just wanted to ask about Flowers to transition into that. I was real happy with the pick. And like Anita, I watched you on Giants.com. The people said that he's a mauler. And I didn't think it was a reach. Like, I like Pugh, but it seemed like there was a little bit of a gap between the two offensive linemen that were taken before Pugh. But with Flowers, I think there's no difference talent-wise. He's just as good as the guy that was taken before him, if not better. And I think he's a genuinely, like, top-notch pick. And he has it all. He's a hard-working kid, a smart kid. And he's tough, like Shakes likes the mauler. So I'm totally happy with the pick, and I just want to ask you guys, do you see, like, what is the difference between Flowers and the guy that was taken before him? And I'll let you guys comment. I see very little difference at all. I think he's the
all
top.
All right, Andrew. We'll let you go, and
Andrew,
I'll answer that for you.
I do remember meeting you. It was an absolute pleasure. Thank you for being a part of Tom Coughlin's J Fund event on Friday. Will we really know how this is going to shake out until really the season starts, and really until we're at least three or five games into the season?
The only thing that we do know is that Flowers has had 2.5 years of starting experience at Miami, and Sheriff was a fifth-year senior at Iowa, so he started for 4 years and was in the program for five. And so technique-wise, we know that Flowers is not nearly as polished as Sheriff, and that's to be expected. I mean, look at the amount of games and amount of snaps that he's played. That's about the only thing we know right now for sure. Everything else is up to what happens. Let's watch the production. Hey, you know what I wanted to ask you, though, one real fast thing? He mentioned how excited he was to be at the facility and saw the tradition and the posters and everything else. When you covered the Dolphins, not so much the Ravens because they didn't have, you know, years and years and years of tradition before you got there, but did the Dolphins have a lot of tradition built into their facility?
Well, I'm going to date myself here, but when I started covering the Dolphins, Don Shula was still the head coach.
Right.
So, and Dan Marino was the quarterback. Duper and Clayton actually were still on the team. So, really more than anything, more than history or nostalgia, or, you know, I was there through the transition going from the Orange Bowl to, at the time, Joe
right.
Robbie Stadium, which I still like to call it because the man was out there rolling up his sleeves and putting the brick in. So I still like to call it Joe Robbie Stadium. But so it was more, I guess, my tenure there, my time covering the Dolphins, it was more of a transition of Don Shula exiting, Dan Marino exiting.
Okay.
Juan Stott was coming in. Jay Fiedler took over at the quarterback position. So there was, you know, yes, there was – It was the time that Jason Taylor and Zach Thomas were coming
That's
in.
That's right.
Offerdahl was exiting.
Oh, sure.
Offerdahl was one of my favorite players I think I've ever covered. Just really a great middle linebacker. It was more changing the guard while I was there.
Right.
More so than a team that's rich in history.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So, unfortunately, but...
So this is cool for you.
Oh, this is fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. This is... Giants organization is different than any. And you know, not to diss the Dolphins, not to diss the Baltimore Ravens, because the Baltimore Ravens and Steve Bisciotti and that organization, Ozzie Newsome, really, really fantastic. Had a phenomenal 4 years there. But hands down, bar none, Giants are the best.
Yeah. Okay. So I just wanted to get that in.
201-939-4513. Let's go to line three. Dre is calling in from Atlanta. Dre, welcome. You're next up.
Hey, Anita. What's going on, Peter? How's everything going?
Hi.
Quick question. Actually, two questions. I want to answer the question that you posed earlier, and my one question. The one person who I haven't really heard too much of a report about, who I need to hear, making leaps and bounds in OTAs, is Bromley. He needs to be the one that's really fighting, you know, showing that he did some off-season work, that, you know, he's gotten bigger and stronger, gotten faster, worked on some technique, you know, even though it's voluntary and they're not doing much, but, you know, show Coach Spags that he's, you know, grasping the concepts, you know, that he's throwing out there, that he's really, comprehending the playbook. And
okay.
I want to hear him as the top performer on OTAs.
The reason that you're not going to hear much about a guy like that is because he's in the trenches, and these are non-contact drills. So it's extremely difficult to see how a guy has progressed or how much a new guy can contribute when they're playing one of the trench positions. I mean, you know, we're standing out there, we're watching Xbox football, we're watching flag football. There's no hitting going on. Well, what do those guys do? Those big, both the big elephants, they hit for a living. So, you know, what can you tell? You could tell by their demeanor, if they seem to know what they're doing, if they know their assignments. You could see if they're quick getting off the snap. That's the kind of thing, like with Odighizuwa, you could see he's quick off the snap. That's something that, okay, that's cool. For a big man, he's agile, and he looks quick coming out of his stance. So there's really nothing I could tell you about Bromley other than he has been really studious during the offseason coming in to do the offseason program. He's been one of the guys who's been here the most. And if you want to take that as a good sign, then you can. If you don't, that's okay too, because there's no evidence until we get to camp and the preseason that will give us any true direction as to where he's going.
Okay. And to answer your question, I think the Giants, by default, can't even throw the Redskins out there, because I think they are now where we were last year. They have a lot of holes, especially at quarterback. So even with Sheriff on their line, I really don't see too many of their rookies really contributing to the amount the Giants are. You know, the Giants are in a position to where, you know, second-year offensive coordinator, first-year defensive coordinator. So you have, you know, a starting safety in Collins, you have a starting left tackle
right
in Flowers. Then you also got to look at what Odighizuwa is going to do. You also got to see if once they start hitting, putting the pads on, what LaCosta is going to do. So I still consider him a rookie, even though he's an undrafted free agent. He's still a rookie. So we're in a better position than the Cowboys, Philly, and Redskins are to actually showcase our rookies that we are drafted in or brought in on different contracts. Right. So I think they have more of an opportunity to excel than the other teams.
I'll buy that opinion for the moment, because we're just going to wait for the evidence to trickle in. Thank you for the call. Anita, the one thing I want to say about the Giants draft that may be a little bit different than the other teams in the division, the Giants' needs really seem to fit the depth of the draft pretty darn well as they went through the rounds, which doesn't always happen, as you know, especially when you come from the best player available philosophy. And why is that bode well? Because it gives you a better chance to get immediate production out of your rookie class. Because when your needs fit the talent and the BPA available, well, guess what? That means they're going to get some quick snaps. That means they're going to have a chance to immediately synergize onto the field, onto your team, and give you something, as opposed to, quote, redshirting and waiting for a while. I do think the Giants probably had the best fit to need for BPA through the draft than anyone else in the division. That could give them an edge in terms of the rookie class's production.
I think it's interesting that the caller does bring up Bromley, because it's somebody that you and I haven't been discussing for a while, and I agree with him. I agree that I feel that this needs to be a season. This needs to be a year that we need to see how Bromley is going to contribute to the defensive line.
I agree. I mean, this is a guy who they got some pretty high hopes for. I mean, you don't take him, you know, second day out of Syracuse thinking that he's just going to be a guy who gets token snaps for his career. No, you take a guy in the second day because you think he's at least a rotation player with the possibility of being a starter. It's like what you tell me all the time about first-round picks. You tell me, hey, Paul, first-round pick, you got to be able to start.
Hands down. Hands down, especially in this day and age, in college football, and how a lot of programs are running those pro-style packages and going up against pro-style packages. 201-939-4513. Anita Marks, Paul Zatino here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Not really a show question, but just a hot topic, and that is in looking at the NFC East, and all the rookies that Dallas, Philadelphia, the Giants, and Washington did draft, who do you feel is going to have a draft class that's going to have the biggest impact for that team heading into 2015? Let's go to line four. We have Abdul calling in from Minneapolis. Abdul, welcome.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
I really think I'm kind of biased, of course. It's a Giants program, but I believe our rookies will have a large impact. Paul just took my point. because we drafted for need really well. Like Flowers, we needed an O-lineman, you know, and plus now because of the injury, he will, you know, come right in and play for us. Collins at safety and slash at linebacker, because I think he'll be used at both positions, you know, in the scheme. That's just my point of view. I could be wrong. I'm not Spagnuolo. And I really believe, I don't know what reason it is, but maybe it's the guy you guys had on Friday, the reporter or the guy from
Don
the Miami
Bailey.
Radio station.
Yeah, Don Bailey, the Hurricanes radio guy. He was really good.
Right.
He was, oh, he was awesome, by the way. But he mentioned Hart.
Yeah.
And how Hart, you know, is a good guy. I have some feeling, like Hart's a big, he might, I have a feeling that he might have an impact this year on, you know, on our line, you know, as a swing guard or swing something. I have a feeling that this guy is going to surprise a lot of people. And back to Flowers, what the guy Miami said is beyond the physical, natural talent the guy has, he has a special thing that great players have is drive, dedication, and he's serious. You know, like the difference between Jerry Rice and the guy from Minnesota, the receiver, was hard work. Jerry Rice put it in every single day.
Are you talking about Randy Moss?
Exactly. Moss had all the physical talents, but he didn't do it. He didn't do much with it because he wasn't as dedicated as, say, Jerry Rice. You know, Jerry Rice didn't have the physical skills as Randy Moss, but Jerry Rice, you know, ran those hills every offseason. He worked every day as hard as he could. And I see Flowers kind of like that kind of person. You know, he's going to, you know, put in the extra film work, the extra weight work. And everyone's already talking about how serious of a young man he is. And I, you know, just from hearing that, I think that extra dedication could, you know, make or break a person's career. And I really feel positive about Flowers.
I'll say one thing about that, if I can, before you go on. And
sure.
I want to touch base with Anita on this one because she's, you know, got this connection with the U. John Beeson.
I'm sorry. My dad played there.
I get it.
I was born and buried housing there.
I get it.
My nursery was all Canes.
I get it.
Okay. I think that was a compliment, Anita.
It was, but, you know, but Beeson is the defensive captain here. Now, I know Flowers plays offense, but I guarantee you that John Beeson has already had a chat with Eric Flowers and said, hey, you're from the U. You have to uphold.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? I'm sure that's happened.
Absolutely.
But he's not the typical U guy.
He's not flashy.
You know, he's more of like, don't mess with me. I'm going to be the best person I could possibly be. And
yeah, but a lot of
no one's going to hate
him.
I will
say this. This is a conversation I had with somebody that I was hosting with this app with over the weekend, and that is, with all the positions, okay, on a football team. Why are you smiling?
I'm not looking at something that I don't want to see.
With all the positions on the football team, offensive linemen are the guys that, like, you know, the one that's the position player that you want to hang out with the most, that you want to go and, like, have a beer and talk football. And, you know, they're just,
right.
they're as a group, as a whole. I mean, David Deal is here at the facility today, and it was just so great to see him and hang out and talk and, like, you know, catch up. Same thing, we saw Chris Snee on Friday.
Well,
he was, both of them have lost like 100 pounds each. But regardless, you know, they're just. But this is what I'm saying to you is that yes, it definitely is an individual. And Flowers seems to be a great young man with a great head on his shoulders and very serious. Looks like he's got a great work ethic. But I think as the position as a whole, Paul. It's just, you know, it's just, I think offensive linemen are like the coolest guys.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, Sean O'Hara's another guy thrown into that mix.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
So I think it's a position thing. I think by nature,
they're just, you know, they're not flashy. They're grounded. You know, they're just solid people. So, yeah, I don't know why, but this is the way it is. Back to the draft, I think Odighizuwa, I remember early on this year, everyone was talking about how he could be a late number one pick, and he fell because of his hips. And from what you guys are saying, how he just shoots off the ball. And also for need, I think the Giants, you know, just because who's in front of him, he could have a pretty big impact right away. You know, and also because we rotate so much on the defensive line, you have a chance to play.
The rotation
unlike other
should
teams
give him
where
some
people
snaps.
Are buried.
I agree with that. Hey, appreciate the call. Thank you.
One more point. Just outside of New York, I think the Raiders, the receiver for the Raiders will have a large impact.
Okay. Cool. Odighizuwa, interesting guy. Yeah, that's what made me laugh.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Odighizuwa, interesting guy. The other day,
I think you just like saying his name because you're just so proud that like you got it down.
It
like,
took me 2 weeks to get it down.
And shout out to the caller. I mean, he had it.
I know.
I just call him Double O. I'm not even gonna try.
You know why I keep saying
that? I'm not even gonna go there.
I got it right, and I don't want to forget
I'm
it.
Not.
That's why it's a force of habit thing. I figure if I keep saying his name over and over, I'll always have it right, and I'll never screw it up. Anyway, Double O. What I like about him is much like what we talked about with some of these other rookies the Giants have had in the last 2 years. Very, very eager to learn. Appreciates the tradition here. Has studied the Giants' greats of the past. He's a real go-getter. And, you know, for a third-round pick who is supposed to be a rotational guy, I'm just going to keep my eye on him because he could have more of an immediate impact than maybe some people think. Because if a guy like DeMontre Moore does not step up his game to the level that he's supposed to, Odighizuwa just might steal those snaps from him. I think this kid could do it. I think he's that good and that eager to show.
I believe we have another Abdul who's on the line, but this one is calling in from Chicago on line one. Welcome in.
How you doing, Anita? How you doing, Paul?
Hi.
Love the show.
Appreciate
it. Now, it's just two things I wanted to pinpoint. The linebacker position. You know, I know John Beeson is a servable linebacker when he's healthy, but I wanted to know who's behind him on depth if he gets injured.
Well, right now, you have to believe that McLean would be the first option, but the Giants are going to mix and match with their backers and see. I mean, Thomas certainly has done some of that in Jacksonville, and I know you're very high on him. Kennard, I also think, has the potential to do some of that. He did some of it at college at USC. I think it's all going to shake out in the wash by the time the preseason's over. I mean, the first question you have to ask yourself is, and Anita, we talked about this, how many linebackers are you going to keep? I'm thinking it might only be five.
Even with the concern.
I just don't trust them guys in the middle linebacker position when Beeson goes down. I don't know if they have enough experience.
Abdul,
I'm just that linebacker position is really, really – they. I just have a bad feeling about this, Paul.
Well,
Beeson,
Abdul,
he just can't stay healthy.
Abdul, thank you for the phone call. But that's exactly what I was going to say. I think you're wrong. I think they go six just because
six.
You have that concern with Beeson in the foot and whatever else might happen.
I mean, I think part of the blessing with the safeties that they have, Collins, who can play a pseudo linebacker kind of thing in a sub package. If Cooper Taylor sticks, I think he can do some of that. They've been telling me that Mykel Thompson, the safety that they drafted this year out of Texas, can be that kind of guy also. I'm thinking to myself, I might cheat, and I might go with five, thinking that one of those guys can help me out in getting some of those snaps. Because you know how many times teams are in sub-packages nowadays anyway. But I understand your trepidation. Five is a little slight. I mean, you'd like to do six. I just don't know if they can.
201-939-4513. Before we continue with your calls, I do want to address Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. This is from SJS0816, a.k.a. Steven. Anita, you keep saying Odell is going to get extra attention this year as if teams didn't give it to him last year with no Cruz, ? Teams did, and you're absolutely right. Listen, no Cruz. Hypothetically speaking, Cruz comes back. He's at least 85%. Defenses are going to have to play a lot more honest, and then you got to hope Reuben Randle takes another step up, becomes a little bit more consistent. Again, defenses are going to have to stay a little bit more honest. But I still think that game planning after the year that Odell had, game planning for him this year is even going to go to another level. The kind of game that that the Rams brought to Odell, mm-hmm. I see other teams who play with that type of, I don't want to use the word swagger because it was beyond swagger.
Gusto. Okay. How about that?
Okay, not a word that I often use in my vocabulary, but yes, we can go there. I guess what I'm saying is I think he's going to see a lot more physicality. I think guys are gonna give him a lot more physicality off the line of scrimmage because they know they can't cover him for longer than 3 seconds. I think it's gonna be a more challenging year for Odell this season just because of the respect that he has gained in the NFL and how teams, you know, will really plan for him and have special coverages for him.
I think it would be naive to think otherwise. I really do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I understand the question as, hey, well, what are you talking about? Like, he blew up last year. You know, teams knew what he was like after the first four games. And now with the addition of Victor Cruz, why wouldn't you think that this year will be easier for Odell?
I'm not giving out any company secrets here. One of the things that teams do at the end of the season, they do their self-scout, okay? But then they also have a segment of time during the offseason where they will look at their upcoming opponents on this year's schedule, and they'll say, okay, which teams did the best against their skill players? And we're going to look at that, and we're going to try to see what we can take off of that and employ it this season. Well, don't you think that all the other teams around the league looked at the teams that supposedly did better against Odell Beckham, including what the Rams did when they tried to beat the living stuffing out of them, and say, okay, that's one of the teams that really kind of, you know, gave him a hard time, even though he produced that night, and they're gonna try to implement it as much as they possibly can. Look, there's one thing I will say about him, Anita. Last year, yes, he continued to produce despite the growing attention as the year went on, but he never stopped trying to learn and trying to get better. This was a guy who I think if teams adjust to him, I'm going to make a pretty solid bet that he's going to try to adjust to them too. I don't think he's going to rest on his laurels. You know him a little better than I do. You've talked to him a little bit more away from the locker room. I don't think he's just going to sit back and say, look, this is what I did, and that's good enough, and I'm going to be able to repeat it in a blink of an eye. I don't sense that about him. Do you?
No, absolutely not. And another thing, keep in mind, Odell came in as a rookie, and I don't ever remember, Paul, seeing a player whose stardom elevated to a surreal level so quickly.
Yeah.
And as a rookie. So, I mean, there's so much that a rookie has to deal with in his first year transitioning into the NFL. And his experience was compounded by that catch that he had against the Cowboys. And, I mean, you know, he's flying off to London to hang out with David Beckham. He's, like, having dinner with LeBron James when he's in town to take on the Knicks or the Nets. I mean, it's just... So I'm excited for him for this season because I think he's kind of like now comfortable kind of in the space that he's at.
Okay.
And it hasn't been such a whirlwind for him that's another thing that I'm excited for him this season is to kind of get his feet planted down, more grounded, understanding where he is in regard to the stardom as opposed to like elevating in the middle of it. And how he reacts to it.
Can I go one better? Because Odell Beckham Jr. didn't start from just ground zero. Anita, think about all the time that he missed because of the injury. He was starting from negative ground.
Right.
And he shot whoosh, all the way up to here, just like that.
Right.
I mean, that's like...
Not just NFL. Like player period. Like professional athlete period.
Never seen it.
I've never seen somebody start him like... catapult like his did and as a rookie, as a freshman in the NFL, to deal with that and being a rookie and learning systems and understanding defenses, I mean it's amazing.
Yeah, he wasn't just a backup, he wasn't just a guy who was hanging around. This is a guy who was really like non-existent because of his injury. He was so far behind. Remember what we talked about? When Beckham gets healthy, when he finally gets into the lineup, they'll work him in maybe as a punt returner because he's not going to be able to pick up too much right away. Holy smokes,
well,
were we wrong?
But keep in mind, all that time that he wasn't on the...
He was doing mental.
Exactly.
He was doing mental.
Here's another tweet, #GiantsChat. This is from MHaley21. Was Odell ranked in the top NFL 100? If not, where would you rank him? I don't know. I don't have that list. I don't know if maybe you can Google and pull it up.
Let's see.
Let's find out if he was... I would be shocked. I would be shocked if he's not in the top 100.
Yeah. How could he not be?
So we will look that up for you. So stay tuned for that. 201-939-4513 is the phone number. Let's go to line 2. Derek is calling in from Hotlanta. Derek, welcome.
Hey, Hey, how's it going, guys?
Okay.
Hey, Paul, remind me to ask you a question about the facilities right at the end.
Sure.
But I think, you know, talking about Odell, if you're like the Yankees and opposing pitcher came in and threw a ball behind A-Rod's head, then the star or the next player up in the next inning, he knows what he's going to get. And I just think that, you know, we need to start protecting our players. That's enough said about that.
And by the way, I don't believe, from what I could see here online, I don't believe they've gotten to Beckham yet as they count down the top 100 on NFL Network. So
do you know where they're
at? I'm looking. I just don't see anybody saying where he is. So I just don't think that they've gotten there yet. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. So I was going to say, was the question the best rookie or the best draft class?
The question we were going with today was the draft class that would have an immediate impact this year. Not long term,
okay,
but right away.
So since Lyle Collins wasn't drafted, I'm going to go with the Eagles. I just think that, you know, they got three starters right off the first 3 days. I think the Giants are close with their lineup, but I think Diggy may take a little bit of time because we got people to line up against. You know, I'm not sure if we're going to need him to take a lot of snaps. But Nelson Aguilar, Eric Rowe, and Jordan Hicks should get a lot of play in that for the Eagles. So I'm going to go with them.
Okay.
And
that's fair.
And I'm going to say that also Randy Gregory is going to remind you kind of DeMontre Moore. I think that he'll maybe get around a little bit more snaps, probably about 350 snaps on defense against the Cowboys. But I don't think, you know, he can stand up against the run every down. So I think, you know, at his weight. So I think he's going to be almost like a DeMontre Moore first couple of seasons until he can gain some weight. And off of that, what is DeMontre Moore reporting at? Anybody know?
I did not see a weight listed for DeMontre on the Giants' updated roster that they have put out. In fact, I just picked this one up this morning. Oh, let's see. Where is DeMontre listed? DeMontre is at, let me go to the alphabetical. They got him listed at 6'5", 250 at the moment. I'll be interested to see what weight he's at when they open camp.
Yeah, that'd be interesting also, too. Last thing I had to ask, I'm planning on taking a trip up to New Jersey to watch the Giants practice.
Sure.
In August. Probably stay right there in East Rutherford. But I was asking, if I'm coming up there, besides looking at the schedule of their practices, is there anything I should see or do at the facility?
Well, at the facility, all you can do is see the practices. They don't have anything like nearby here that's Giants related. There's no like amusement park or anything of that nature. It's basically a bare bones. You come to training camp and you get to watch the guys practice.
Where are you coming from?
Well, you know, I'm living in Atlanta now, but I'm from Paterson, New Jersey. But you know, if I come, I'm probably going to stay in East Rutherford, right next to the stadium.
Are you going to be in town for a while?
Probably. I'm actually coming, you know, just watch the Giants practice. So I'm going to, you know, probably bring a wife and go to hit New York at nighttime. But I'm probably going to go 2 or 3 days and try to watch a couple of their practices.
I will say this. If you are heading into the city, one thing that I tell everyone, friends, family who come to visit me, if you do have time, and it's probably a five-hour event for you, is to go see the 9/11 Memorial. That is in downtown. It's so moving. It's one of the most amazing experiences. So again, come here, see the Giants, have a great time. If you're heading into the city and you're doing some sightseeing, it's the one thing that I would recommend you and your wife go see.
Glad you said that. I wanted to go see that. Okay, I'll talk to you guys later.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have you checked? You should take your daughter there, by the way.
Have not. Again, being here when it happened, it affects me a little differently, I think.
Well, this is what most people should know, is that it's more of a celebration of life.
Okay.
For all those that were affected by 9/11 that had passed, families, it's the memorial is more about learning who those people are and who their families were more than anything else.
So I will get there someday.
It's more of a celebration of life and who those people were.
I had trouble, I remember the first time, it was a few years later, when I actually got to go by the site. They had not really done the construction on the new Freedom Tower at the time, and I lost it. I mean, I'm emotional anyway. I'm Italian. I can't help it.
201-939-4513. Let's get to more calls and, of course, tweets, hashtag Giants chat. And O-line. I'm really curious about the center we got from Canada. Can he make an impact? What have you seen? What do you like? What are your expectations for him, especially now that really some help is needed on this offensive line with Beatty going down?
Yeah, Brett Jones is a guy who I'm anxious to see once contact starts. Again, I can't stress to you enough, these OTAs are non-contact drills. And the questions about Brett Jones are, how will he deal with live action when the line of scrimmage in the CFL allows for that extra cushion that they don't allow here in the NFL? Until he actually gets into contact drills and starts knocking heads with somebody, I can't tell you how he's going to adjust to that. I also can't tell you how his size and strength is going to equate, because the guys he's going up against in the CFL are a lot smaller, and they're also not as strong as the guys are in this league. How am I going to tell you that? I can't tell you that till I start seeing contact. So I don't know. What I can say is what I saw on tape. And I saw a lot of tape on him. I did a lot of work on him. He looks really strong for his size. He looks very smart. I didn't see him getting lost. He seemed to have his assignments down. He gets to the second level. He's very good about shedding the guy and then making his block and getting to the linebackers and going downfield. He hustles. Got a great attitude. Got a chance to talk to him in the locker room. I think it's all good. But until I actually see him compete physically with NFL players, I can't give you a full report.
Here's a tweet from Eddie Goomba. How is the tight end situation looking? Heard Larry Donnell's in a boot today. Yes, I know there's photographs all over Twitter. Hashtag Giants chat. Talk about the tight end position and what you've seen.
Donnell was on a bike earlier, and so, you know, I don't know exactly what the status is of that foot. We'll find out from Coach Coughlin shortly at his press briefing in a few minutes. Again, I can't say enough about Matt Lacoste. Every time I see the kid, he catches everything that's thrown to him. He looks like he's got a good head on his shoulders. The Giants have also brought back Fells. Cunningham is out there working out as well. Adrian Robinson is still here. I mean, the Giants are going to be looking for guys to produce. And, you know, I hate to say this because you never want a guy to be out of action. But Larry Donnell's missing some time here during the offseason. That means these other guys are getting more attention. They're getting more work. Well, soak it in and use it to your advantage when they start training camp, because there are snaps to be earned at that position.
Let's go to line three. Frank's calling in from Tampa. Frank, welcome.
Hello. Good morning. Good morning, or good afternoon, I guess. Hi. You know, just as an aside, you know, you guys were talking about you'd never seen an athlete, you know, explode on the scene like that, like Beckham did. And I'm going to give you one other person that I have to say is in that category, although even while I was watching it, I thought it was fool's gold and it seemed to pan out that way. But Jeremy Lin, you remember that phenomenon for a couple of months there.
And, yeah, he came out of nowhere for the Knicks. That's true.
Yeah, you sure did.
That's true.
And you know, I can't help but think you guys were talking about Moore and his weight. There's a long article in Bleacher Report about him in the off season, and you know, it sounds like he, you know, worked and worked and worked to get his weight up. But I was shocked to hear, first of all, that he played it between 240 and 244 last year. And that secondly, with all that work, all that nutrition, everything, he's at 250. And it just doesn't appear that he has the frame, much like so many of those guys, you know, that came out of college this year, to get any bigger. And I'm starting to think that possibly this was a mistake, you know, unless they had some idea about potentially going to a 3-4. Because, you know, if by the third year now he can't get any bigger than that, and certainly during the season he's not going to grow. If anything, he's going to lose weight as the season goes on.
I'm going to make you feel a little better. I'm going to make you feel a little better. DeMontre Moore came out of school early.
He's a year, we're going to lose his rights by the time he hits 255.
All right, he's a year younger on the curve, okay? So this is really the year. I mean, they always say it's usually 3 years, and this is 3 years. But seriously, this is the year they need him to do something. The good news is this, okay? They got Ayers. They got Selvey. They just drafted Odighizuwa. They got a bunch of numbers here at defensive end. So if DeMontre Moore doesn't earn his snaps and doesn't do what the Giants need him to do, there are other guys nipping at his heels waiting to play. So,
because, you know, O.C. played at 255, but O.C. was only 6'3", you know, so he's stockier. This kid's tall, rangy, you know.
Well, O.C. also put his nose to the grindstone because Strahan taught him what it was like to be able to outwit your opponent and be able to use multiple moves to beat a guy. He really taught O.C. how to grow up. Did you know when O.C. was at Troy, he never watched film?
Frank, thank you for the phone call. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Frank. Did you know that? O.C. did not watch film when he played at Troy. He strictly used his natural ability. He told me that when he was in the film room with the coaches, he would fall asleep. And because he was so good, they kind of let him slack on it. Strahan taught him how to watch film.
What's he doing now? Has he retired? Is he still with Atlanta?
He is an unrestricted free agent, as I understand it. And, you know, still looking to play.
Does he want to play? Does he want
to
play this season?
He would like to play. He would like to play. I told him the game doesn't owe him anything at this point. You know, he's got 2 Super Bowl rings with the Giants, had a really good career, and, you know, nothing wrong with stopping now. But if he really wants to play, then by all means, stay in shape, and maybe around training camp, somebody will be calling and saying we'll take a shot.
We want to thank everybody for tuning in today. Practice is just ending. Tom Coughlin is going to make himself available to the media in just about 1 minute. So we'll have that interview for you up on Giants.com a little bit later on this afternoon. So please make sure you stay tuned to Giants.com, not only for Tom Coughlin, but as well for a number of the players that will be speaking to the media post-practice. We'll have their interviews up. Are you in tomorrow?
I'm not in tomorrow.
You're not. So it will be John Schmelk and Lance Meadow with you tomorrow. I am back Thursday and Friday. So really excited to kind of talk to the guys, see how practice went today, and we'll have all your news for you with this Giants OTA a little bit later on this afternoon on Giants.com. So everybody have a great afternoon.
Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down to the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Get no punch. Logan intercepted.
Touchdown.